That work.
Introducing Ellie Weber, 9:01 on a Tuesday morning, chomping on frozen cake. Sefer Mitzvah number 225, Exile.
Galus.
Okay, as you'll recall, I'm sure you will, we started a new unit in the Rambam. And the unit is punishment.
Did we start with marriage?
No, unrelated.
That's
unrelated. The unit is punishment. And last week we spoke about Makos. Next week we will speak about Misas Besdin, if I choose to do that. And in between this week, we have Golos. So the first thing, I'm kind of giving away the lead, I suppose, by putting it this way, because in terms of the question of how do we relate to Golos, presumably the Rambam sees it as a punishment. If not, he wouldn't have categorized it the way he did. Nevertheless, there's a lot to discuss and a lot to try to understand, A, just in terms of the context of going to Golos, you know, when you would go, what the purpose of going to Golos is, what the rules are revolving Golos, but really just how Besdin functions in this context. And by way of introduction, I'll make the following point. We think of halacha, and in this context, we think of things like mazid and shogeg as being, you know, obvious. It's black and white, right? There's intentional murder, there's accidental murder. Obviously, in the real world, it doesn't work that way. And I'll start by way of an analogy, which I think is a pretty good one. Let's talk about Hilchos Shabbos for a second. Okay? If I'm at a kiddush on Shabbos, and I'm reaching for the chalent, as is my habit, and somebody, as is the habit of many other Jews, pushes my hand out of the way, you know, because he wants the chalent. Okay? When he pushes my hand out of the way, it hits the light switch, and I shut the lights off. Okay? That in halacha is categorized as ones. Meaning, I bear no culpability for that, because there's no way I could have anticipated, although in the chulent example, maybe I could have anticipated, but, you know...
Eating chulent in the dark.
What?
Ones.
Ones, right. So ones, how would you translate ones in... Ones is not an accent. Ones is...
Unintentional?
No. Worse than that. Ones is almost like you were forced to do it, mm-hmm. right? It's like unwilling. You didn't want to... And somehow worked that you did.
Dershowitz on that island.
That's one side. The other side is, I know it's Shabbos. I know it's usher to turn a light off on Shabbos. And I do it. Okay? That's called mazid. Right? That's called intentional. What's in between?
Shogeg.
What's the classic example of shogeg? So the classic example of shogeg is that either you didn't know it was Asur, or you didn't know it was Shabbos. So let's just do an easy example, and this will prove make the point. Okay, I get up in the middle of the night, Friday night, as is sadly becoming more of a custom for me, because I have to visit the men's room.
Tell us about it.
Okay, I'm telling you right now. Okay, I'm leaving the men's room. It's 3 a.m. Friday night. And I shut off the light, because that's normally what I do when I get out of the bathroom at 3 a.m. And then I realize it's Shabbos, and I feel terrible. Okay? That's shogeg. What does it mean to be shogeg? It means you need kapara. It means you bear some responsibility for what you did. It's true, you didn't remember it was Shabbos. But in a better world, or if you were a better person, if I were a better person, I would have remembered it was Shabbos. It's my fault that I didn't remember that it was Shabbos.
You have a nightmare.
As a result, I have to bring a carbon. I have some culpability. So again, ones, you know, mazid, I did it on purpose. Ones, I don't have to do any tshuva. I don't have any responsibility for it. It was beyond my control. Shogeg is in the middle.
There's something else.
Shogeg is that I bear responsibility for it. Because if I were better, if I'd been more careful, it wouldn't have happened.
Sometimes it's a necessity.
What do you mean?
To put the light on. I mean, there may be an occasion where what is forbidden becomes a necessity.
So Gunizi case, right. Yeah. You know, because, you know, somebody's sick, the doctor has to see the patient.
All right.
So that's not shogig, that's mutter.
That's another category.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what other category you're talking about, but I'll say this. Obviously, shogeg is sometimes not so obvious. There's what's called shogeg karov la'ones and shogeg karov la'mezin, and I'll give you examples now. Here. And then we'll really start the sources. I am driving my car, and I am being, you know, careful, and I'm abiding by the speed limit, whatever, and some kid jumps off an overpass and lands in front of my car. Okay? Nothing, there's nothing anybody could have done. I think in halacha and in the law, that's called the onus. Right? You don't bear responsibility. You may feel terrible for it, but you don't bear any responsibility. On the other hand, I'm driving and I'm distracted. Okay? Not to get, you know, I'm texting, whatever it is. Okay? And God forbid, I hit somebody. So that's probably, you know, that's shogeg in the sense that I probably could have avoided it, but it's hard to say that it was really my fault. Mm-hmm. Now there, I don't want to argue about the details of the cases, because there, you know, you could go from I had a few drinks, but not so many drinks, right? There's a whole big area in the middle that we would call shogeg, but we have to realize there are things that are shogeg, karov lemezid, meaning I had two drinks, you know, I wasn't texting, but I was talking, you know, where you go, I think there's some responsibility there. There's, you know, there's a rainstorm, and I'm driving 80 kilometers an hour. So, you know, that's, again, you didn't want to hit anybody, God forbid. So that's going to be shogeg karov lemezid, whereas shogeg karov la'ones is, you know, it was really mostly out of my control, even though I was changing the dial on the radio or something at the time. Okay, quick.
How does exo, which is a national...
I didn't even start.
I didn't even start. These are all personal examples, I mean.
I didn't even start. Exile is personal. It's all going to be personal. Oh, it's not national. Yes, the Jewish people is in Galdos, is in exile. That's just that we share the word, because it's descriptive. But that we're not talking in that context. We're talking about the individual context of you did an act, now you're being punished for it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the psukim. End of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Hey. I think it's the last parak in Sefer Bamidbar. The Torah describes the obligation to separate out cities of refuge. Cities of refuge where people who killed Bishogeg go. Says the Torah, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Yudalit, Eich Shlosh Ha'arim Titnu Me'Ever La'Yardain. Right? There are three on the other side of the Jordan. Ve'et shlosh ha'arim titenu be'eretz kinan, arei miklat tihyana. Okay, there are six arei miklat in total, three in Israel proper, three on the far side of the Yarden. Everybody asks, it's a Rashi, you know, how could there be three and three? There's 9.5 shvatim who live on one side, 2.5 who live on the other. Okay, that's the discussion. Now, skipping a bunch of psukim, pasuk kaf dalet. Vishaftu ha'eda, the people will judge. Let's assume here the word Eida means a court, even though it's a strange phrase. V'shaftu ha'eda. Bein ha'makeh u'bein go'el hadam al ha'mishpatim ha'ela. The court has to judge between the accidental murderer and the go'el hadam. The go'el hadam is the next of kin, who in halacha has a right and maybe even an obligation to kill the murderer of his brother, let's say. So here's the Torah says, Chafet. V'hitzilu ha'eda et harotzeach miyad goel hadam. The people, or the court, should save the rotzeach. And it's funny that it uses the word rotzeach, the killer, even though here you have to understand it means the killer who might be intentional, but most likely is accidental. V'hitzilu ha'eda et harotzeach miyad goel hadam. Veheshivu oto ha'eda el ir miklato asher nas shama. They bring him to the ir miklat, or they keep him in the ir miklat where that he's run away to. V'yashava ad mot hakohen hagadol asher mashach oto b'shem ha'kodesh. And he stays in the ir miklat. He's sentenced, let's say, to the ir miklat to stay there until when? until the Kohen Gadol dies. Okay? That is a bizarre halacha. You know, what we're used to is, okay, you're sentenced to 5 to 10, right? You're sentenced to some period of time. You have to go to the Ir Miklat for this number of years. In this case, no, you have to go to the Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. I'll hopefully have time to mention that later, but I'm aware of the fact that it's a strange halacha. But if you look at what the Torah says in Pasuk Chaf Hey, what's the purpose of Galus? Look at the Pasuk we just read in Chaf Hey. What's the purpose of Galus?
To save him.
That's exactly right. V'hitzilu ha'idat ha'rotzeach. The sense is, there's this bizarre thing in halacha, that the Goel Hadam, the next of kin, has a right, again I keep saying it, slash obligation, to kill the accidental murderer, and we have a mitzvah to save the accidental murderer by having him go to Galus. I'm aware that that seems contradictory. But those are the facts. Okay? But yes.
The Heshiva, it sounds like he left.
Yeah, so that's a complication. Okay, I'll explain that now also. There's just a lot of background that's necessary. The way it works is as follows. As soon as you have killed somebody, accidentally or not, well, say it this way, as soon as you're in a case where you're responsible for the death of somebody, that's a better way of saying it, in whatever form, the first thing that the Torah wants you to do is run to Galus. So that there's no issue.
So that
now there has to be a trial. So Beis Din brings him back for the trial.
Under protection.
And, huh?
Under protection.
Under sort of protection, meaning it's weird. First of all, like the Rambam says, you send two Talmidei Chachamim to escort him. Like, that's a stupid idea. What are they going to say, Tehillim? You said two guys from Sayeret Matkal, you know, that would help.
They're a Hector, that's right.
Okay, so, right. They go to my yeshiva, so they're all... But the din is, so two people escort him back, and let's be clear, during that time, as in all times, the Goel Hadam still has a right to kill him. Right? These are all problems that in theory could have been solved by the Halacha, which would have said, okay, you're not allowed to kill him. Anyway, they bring him back. He stands trial. Presumably, if he's found guilty, so Beis Din deals with him. If not, but he really did it, let's assume if Beis Din rules that he was ones, just doing easy cases, then he's okay. But anything short of ones, they have to take him back to the Ir Miklat, where he lives his life until the sooner of his death or the death of the Kohen Gadol. Okay? That's the din. Let's keep reading.
But you still have the same concern that the relatives might hot-headedly want to kill him even if he is on it.
Oh, so that, but there they're not allowed to. That if the Goel Hadam kills him outside, let's ignore whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. If the Goel Hadam, if the next of kin kills the accidental murderer outside of an Ir Miklat, he's innocent. If he kills him in an Ir Miklat, he's a murderer.
What is the source?
But again, if he is, let's say the court decides that he is ones, that he was an ones,
right?
Then it doesn't take away the.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's supposed to. It's for in a rational case. It's supposed to take it away. We, the Torah, believes that we are at some level in control of ourselves. I'll say this. There are many times in this very room that I'd like to kill people. Okay? This is no surprise.
It's not nice to treat Bruce that way.
This is no surprise. And yet, I exercise extraordinary self-control and restraint.
And you're not even a coward.
And to this date, I have yet to, you know. Okay? So the answer is, that's exactly the...
I was afraid of that.
Okay.
they're allowed to kill him?
This way, it would be the end of the koa.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make it clear. Not if I killed, if you killed, okay,
it's
fine.
It's killing koa.
Okay.
The koa Adam has a right to kill him before trial?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We're just getting started. We're just getting started, and I'm going to continue to try to give the shear. But, yes. Okay? So, the answer is, but after Ones, yes, grow up, the court told you it wasn't his fault. Okay, but other than that, you have to be escorted. Yeah.
What is the source for the Goel Adon that is entitled
to kill? Oh, we just read it. First of all, there's a lot of psukim. But v'hitzilu ha'idat v'harotzech miyad Goel Adon, that's the first source. The understanding there is the Goel Adon is allowed to do it. Right, but we'll get to more. Don't worry. Now look at the next pasuk. Pasuk Chavah. V'im yaso yeitze ha'rotzech et gvul ir miklato ashayonus shama. And if he leaves the ir miklat that he was sentenced to, for whatever reason, and trust me, for whatever reason, chav zayin, umatsa oto goel hadam michutz legvul ir miklato, and the goel hadam finds him outside of the ir miklat, v'ratzach goel hadam et harotzeach ein lo dam. You got it? V'ratzach goel hadam et harotzeach ein lo dam. So it's a funny thing. The Torah could have used other words. V'ratzach, it used the word he murders, which sounds like there's something bad about it, but ein lo dam. So I'll grant you that you could read this line in two different ways. You could read it v'ratzach, it's an imperative. The goel hadam should kill the accidental murderer who intentionally leaves the ir miklat that he was sentenced to, right? Or, at a minimum, he's allowed to. And if he does, ein lo dam, he's not punished. Okay, that's a pasuk.
But that's only true back in those days when
no,
it happened in
it's
law.
It's true forever.
Yeah, but
today,
this doesn't. Nobody's
well,
got
well,
a gun.
We have no bed. Everybody has a gun nowadays. What are you talking about?
But nobody's got the right to go and kill somebody.
Okay, so obviously, we're talking about in a halachic system of law where they're functioning, but they didn't. You know, that doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Now, let's finish. Why can he kill him? Chavchet, last passage that I quote here. Ki bi'ir miklato yeshev admot ha-kohen agadol. Because he was sentenced to live in an ir miklat. Va'achare mota kohen agadol yashuv harotzeach al eretz achuzato. And it's only after the kohen gadol dies that the accidental murderer is allowed to return home. Okay. Let's just ask the question before we start the analysis. Broadly speaking, what's going on here? What's the purpose of exile? What's the purpose of the goel hadam, an accidental murderer, being sentenced or sent to Galut, to exile.
Rehabilitation.
Okay, so one possibility might be rehabilitation. We haven't seen any evidence of that, but rehabilitation, or let's say a form of tshuva, right? You did something wrong. This is something, by the way, that like we're missing in today's society, I say this painfully. Meaning, today's society, it's all binary. You know, it was on purpose, I have an excuse for what I did. And here you see this halacha. You have an excuse. It's true. You're not an intentional murderer, but on some level, right? You were the cause, or Satan, most religiously, in the most religious way, you were the tool that God chose, you know, to bring this punishment or to bring this action, and that means something.
Why do we bring God into it?
Huh? Because it's the Torah.
I mean, He chose you to do this.
Yeah. I think so. And that's what Chazal thinks.
Is
yes.
Responsible for every motivation on our part?
No. I'll say this. If I let go of this piece of paper, I'm relatively confident it will fall down based on the laws of gravity. Although I believe that if God wanted to, He could do a miracle. Okay? I don't think God, my personal opinion is, I don't think God gets involved in tiny things like this. I think in death, yeah, you know. You could disagree. I think when you talk about that, certainly in Chazal, the classic case of, you know, what's the classic case of a horeg b'shogeg? The answer is a person who was responsible, who was in a car crash, and he was responsible, but nobody knew it was him, right? And there's a real murderer who should have been put to death. So God brings them both together, and the accidental guy falls on the intentional guy, so now God evens up the score. The intentional murderer is now dead, and the accidental murderer in front of Edim now has to go to Golos. Okay, that's what Chazal say. You could argue or not. So one possibility is, as Mr. Levy said, some form of kapara or rehabilitation that makes the guy, you know, I assume if you were involved, let's take our example, I assume if you're involved in a car accident that caused the death of somebody, you feel terrible, right? You know, even if it wasn't your fault, assuming the person didn't jump off, you know, I think you feel terrible. And so the answer is, going to Golos helps you to rehabilitate, helps you to become a better person, helps you to pay your debt to society, what have you.
The other possibility is it's some kind of punishment.
Right. The second possibility is it's an onesh. And as we said at the beginning, which you usually don't attend, you know, we're talking about where the Rambam puts it in between Makos and Mises Bezdin, so probably the Rambam thinks of Golos as being, okay, sometimes you get Makos, sometimes Bezdin kills you, sometimes the punishment is that you have to go to Golos.
Because there is some spiritual guilt or some connection with guilt because you were chosen as a
soul. Not spiritual, but no, but I'm saying no, not even spiritual, because forget that case. Let's assume it's a car accident of the type that...
No, I'm saying B'Shamayim, there is some...
Yeah, but I'm ignoring that. I'm ignoring that because, you know, it's too spooky and I don't want to have to back that up. I'm saying in the world that we live in, you and I both understand that this should probably be a way, it's that it shouldn't be binary, meaning you're either a killer or you walk free, right? There are cases, there are car accidents in which neither of those descriptions is accurate. And there's an in-between stage where you're culpable and the punishment for it is going to Golos. The third one, which was mentioned before, which is in the Pasuk, is protecting him. For some reason, the halacha allows the next of kin to kill the accidental murderer. So the Torah says, not really a mitzvah necessarily, we wouldn't see it as a mitzvah, the Torah says, listen, now that we've allowed him to do that, and it's fair to ask, why would we allow him to do that? But now that we allow him to do that, it has to be fair. There has to be a way to protect the accidental murderer, because certainly he's not Chayav Misa. So we've set up this whole system of Arei Miklat so that it balances out. And it, now it's an interesting thing. It's kind of a self-contained, and we'll see this in a few minutes, kind of a self-contained system. Why does the guy go to Ir Miklat? Because otherwise he's going to get killed. Right? Now, it could very well be we don't really want him to get killed. But we want there to be some kind of incentive for him to go to an Ir Miklat. And the way the system works, it's a fascinating way to look at it, the way the system works is we basically tell the next of kin, you could kill this guy, and nothing incentivizes this guy to go to Golos more than the possibility that he would be killed by the next of kin. Okay?
Why should the Gol have done it? Have the right to kill him before he goes to trial, because maybe he's going to be...
Right, so maybe the answer is that's how the system works. We don't really want him to kill him, but what's going to... If he's not afraid of the Goel Adam, why is he going to go to Golos in the first place?
No, but the first time he's going to Golos because he's waiting trial. He goes
Then
he goes back to trial.
No, but that's where you're wrong. The first time he goes to Golos, it's true that he's awaiting trial, but he runs to Golos. Why doesn't he stay home while he awaits trial?
Well, he killed somebody, but it could have been obvious.
Understood. But the mechanic by which, all I'm saying is, the procedural mechanic by which he runs to Golos is because otherwise this guy's going to kill him. Now you're saying, you know, so tell the guy he can't kill him before trial, but the answer is, but then he'll stay home. Right? And we want him to be in Golos for a range of reasons that we'll come to soon. Quick.
Like you see that Yibum existed before the Torah, instead of killing the accidental killer, could have been a cultural situation long before the Torah, and the Torah is dealing with it.
Everything could have been. Do you have any evidence?
Until we have Yehud and Tamar, the whole story...
I understand that's a Yibum.
Yeah.
Is there any reason to think that...
Because the illogic, as Norm is pointing out, why not have him stay home? Why? No,
the answer is we don't want him to stay home. Now,
to protect him.
Right, but we only have to protect him because we give permission to the Goel Adam to kill him.
Well, he's asking why. I'm just saying it may have been the cultural, like today, go to some villages.
Okay, let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says in source number 2, right. Mitzvah Reish Chaf Hei, 225 as follows. Va'amitzvah HaReish Chaf Hei, ki shetzivanu lahotzi ma'kei nefesh bishgaga me'iro la'arei miklat. We are commanded to remove an accidental murderer from his home and to put him in a city of refuge in an Ir Miklat. V'yashav sham ad mot ha-kohen ha-gadol. And he has to live there until the Kohen Gadol dies. V'lashon sifrei v'yashav sham eino yotzei misham le'olam. Now again, it's interesting, but le'olam, I know it's not true. Le'olam until... The same thing applies, you know, that in Eved Ivri does is avado le'olam, which Chazal say is till Yovel. Here le'olam is until the Kohen Gadol dies. Okay.
Who's the mitzvah on?
Let me give a shir. Excellent. Okay. V'yashav sham eino yotzei misham le'olam shenema sham tihye dirato sham tehe mitato sham tehe kvurato. How seriously does the halacha take this? It's a mishnah. That's where he has to live. Sham tehe mitato. That's where he has to die, assuming that the Kohen Gadol does die first. Sham tehe kvurato. There he has to be buried. We'll come back to this because that's a fascinating thing. You'd think, listen, once you're dead, right, it's finished. The answer is no. In this din, it's not finished even after you die. Now, who's the mitzvah on? So again, what would our guess be?
Tzibur.
That wouldn't be my guess, but it's a fair guess. It says Ha'idah, but if it's a punishment, who normally meets out punishment? Bezdin. So you look in source number 3, the Rambam, Parakeh, Halacha Aleph, of Ilchus Rotzeach, Ushmirach, and Nefesh, says as follows. Kal ha-horeg bishgaga gole mi midina shaharagba la'are miklat. Okay, anybody who was an accidental murderer is exiled from where he lives to an ir miklat. U'mitzvat asei lahagloto. First thing he says, that's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, to make him go into galus. Shenemar v'yashav bo ad mot ha-kohen ha-gadol. That's not the best pasuk to prove it, but that's what the Rambam brings. And now the Rambam gives away his shita. V'huz haru beitin. So now that you see, the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah is on Bezdin. But interesting, he says, v'huz haru beitin shelo likach kofer min harotzeach bishgaga kidei leishev bi'iro. Bezdin is specifically prohibited from accepting, we'll say a ransom, because a bribe is a bad word, and it's the wrong word. So accepting ransom from the horeg bishgaga that would allow him to stay at home. Shenemar v'lo tikhu kofer lanus el ir miklato. There's a specific pasuk that says they should not take, you know, a ransom to allow him to stay at home. Now, why would you think that in this case in particular, Bezdin would be subject to not enforcing the law? So the way I imagine it is as follows. The guy says, look, you know I didn't mean it. Okay? But it's true, I'm responsible. But if you let me stay here, you know, I could do community service. Right? I could help build a shul, I could build a mikvah, I could do all of these things. If you let me stay here, I could really pay off my debt to society. And it's not a bad argument.
So you could also prove that the relatives are not so upset, that they understand the circumstances of it.
No, so therefore, see, once you decide that it's a punishment,
that's a difference.
Then you finish. You're not saying, you know, you're right, you could just come, or maybe, I can't say this for sure, but maybe the other possibility is you go to the next of kin, and you say, listen, I know you're angry. You know I didn't do it. On the other hand, you have a right to kill me. Oh, I guess you don't do it in person. It would be dangerous. But you do it. You know, you write him a letter and you say, listen, I am willing to donate, you know, $1 million to build a community center with your brother's name on it, because I really do feel bad that this happened. And, you know, won't that be a better result than you killing me? Right? And the guy signs a contract. I won't do, you know, whatever. So the halacha is no. We want him to go to Golos. It's a punishment just like you can't buy off a punishment of Makos and you can't buy off a punishment of Misa. This really goes nicely with the Rambam Shita that it's a punishment. And as a punishment, you can't buy it off. Now, the interesting thing about punishments in Halacha is that they generally don't benefit the victim. By which I mean, and it's true also in secular court, when there's a murder trial, so if the guy's convicted, the family's not made whole. They don't get any money, right? They have to sue in civil court. But I'm saying the trial, you know, what we know of as criminal trials never benefit the victim, which is why, like in civil court, they're called, you know, the state versus, you know, Ellie Weber. It's not the family. The civil case is the family against. So here, it's interesting. It sounds like in this halacha of galus, the family is more involved. Because the goel hadam, you know, is the impetus for this guy to hide in galus. Therefore, I think there's more of an opportunity to think you could negotiate your way out of it. Right? The goel hadam, you know, is 98. Whatever. There's a way to negotiate with Salvador. Torah says no. That's the din. That's the din. Yeah.
A strong proof of punishment is if he's from the Irmaklot.
Are you supporting me?
Yeah. if he's from the Irmaklot, he goes to another Irmaklot. We transfer him.
Right.
Clearly, it's a punishment because he could just stay in the Irmaklot where he's protected.
Okay, maybe.
Isn't there a conflict between what the Rambam say, which is that they didn't seem to have the responsibility to send him away there?
Yes.
And it is
two different things. And the confusing part of it is that it's as if the Goel Hadam partners with Bezdin. Right? He's part of the process by which Bezdin gets to enforce the law because he's the fear factor in... Okay. Let's look at the Sefer Achinuch very quickly. Source number 4. Sefer Achinuch is going to add something. He's going to fundamentally agree with the Rambam, but add something. Says the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tuf Yud, Shenitztavu Beitin Shel Yisrael Lehashlich Makei Nefesh Bishgaga Meiro Ulahoshivo Ba'arei Miklat. Right? A Bezdin is chayef to send an accidental murderer to exile. Shenema Veheshivu Oto Ha'idah Aliyah Miklato. You have to send him to the city of refuge. V'yashav Bo Ad Mot HaKohen HaGadol. Now here's the new thing. V'gam ha-makeh, the accidental murderer, gam hu bichlal mitzvat aseh zeh. He also has a part in this mitzvat aseh, shenema alav, ki bi'ir miklato yeshev ad mot ha-kohen ha-gadol. Says the Chinuch, I don't disagree with the Rambam, I just think the Rambam wasn't complete in his description. It's true, it's a mitzvah on Bezdin to send an accidental murderer to exile. But says the Chinuch, it's also a mitzvah on the accidental murderer to go to exile. It's a mitzvah to say on that individual to put himself in exile. And that means, irrespective of the fact that he lives in fear of the Goel Hadam, he has to go to exile because that's his mitzvah. He bears some culpability for the death of another Jew. Okay, and now he's going to say the same thing at the end, second paragraph in 4. V'noheget mitzvah zo bizman sheYisrael al admatan v'sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad yoshvim b'mekoman hamuchan lahem b'yushalayim l'din dinei nefashot. Says the Chinuch, it doesn't apply bizman hazeh. It obviously only applies when there's a Sanhedrin Hagadol in Yerushalayim sitting near the Beit HaMikdash. V'im avru al zeh beitin shebechol makom u'makom v'lo higlu harotzeach b'shkaga, and if Bezdin doesn't send the accidental murderer to exile, Bitlu aseizeh, okay, they are in violation of the Torah law, and more than that, va'ansham gadol me'od lefi shehu siba lishvichut damin. It's not just that they're mevatel mitzvah aseh, but a court that doesn't enforce the law is going to cause more death. Why? Because if you let people get away with it, and you say, well, he's not really a murderer, he's just negligent, right? If you let, you let the factory owner, whose workers have to work in dangerous conditions, and a worker dies, and you let him say, listen, I'll pay a fine, whatever, it's not right, right? You're going to cause this to keep happening. The Chinuch says, Bezdin has a responsibility, and it's interesting, he doesn't say this very often. I think that the Chinuch thinks that accidental death is like a plague in society. And instead of talking about, you know, accidental murderers, that sounds very limited. How many times do we know a person is an accidental murderer? Well, the answer is it depends how you apply the term. If you apply the term in Israel now, right, workers die all the time in dangerous work conditions. I'm not here, I'm not a social activist, I'm not here to make it, you know, but I'm saying some of those cases have to fall into this category of Rosach B'Shogeg.
And also reckless driving. Which is
for sure.
The biggest problem.
For sure. And I think what the Chinuch is saying is, if you don't crack down on reckless driving, if the court lets a drunk driver off, you know, with 30 days in jail and 200 hours of community service, it's going to keep happening. Perfect. Again, it's like a very honest statement of the Chinuch saying, it's not just that Beis Din is mevatel mitzvah saseh, but Beis Din is corrupting society, and their job is to help build a just society. So it's a fair point, which is the term accidental murderer makes us think, you know, who knows? I don't know anybody who's an accidental murderer. But the term of, you know, accidental death, and now you look back.
Huh? He was the victim of murder.
It is there's a difference between a murderer and a killer.
Fair, fair. Okay, anyway, that helps us put this in context. Now, huh? Right, so we'll stop using that term.
Whereas manslaughter is a different term.
Right, listen, we're uncomfortable calling a factory owner a murderer, and maybe that's the wrong term. But to say that he has some culpability for the death of a worker might be the right term. I don't know. Certainly, again, as a person who occasionally doesn't obey all traffic laws, like most of us, right? You know,
speak for yourself.
I would like to think that, you know, I would never want the term murder apply to anybody. Like, on the other hand, you know, responsibility for the death of another person is a pretty serious thing. And maybe we need to make up a term.
Killer.
Not murderer.
That's a nickname. Killer Kowalski. He's like a wrestler.
Premeditation is murder.
Okay.
Yossi,
fine.
Yossi can listen to this table.
Fine, fine. Let's go on. One second. Now, a very interesting thing about, which we've avoided speaking about till now, is the level of proof necessary for an accidental murderer. We know that for a person to be convicted of murder, you need two edim and hasra, things that never happen. You need to warn the guy, you know. But what do you need here? So it's not 100% clear, but it seems pretty obvious that, let's say, you know, again, God forbid you're involved in a car accident and you live in a halachic society, the first thing you do is drive to the Ir Miklat. Okay? Now, who's making you go to the Ir Miklat? Nobody, you. Because you're worried, you know, there's a role to, like, admitting being an accidental murderer that doesn't exist elsewhere in society. Normally, in halacha, normally we say, Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. You can't admit to a crime. Beis Din doesn't accept that. So somebody comes into court and says, I murdered him in cold blood, whatever, they don't kill you.
It's self-incrimination.
Self-incrimination, right? If you come in and you say that you stole, so then you have to pay back because you admitted that you stole, but they can't charge you with a knas. You don't pay kefel, you don't pay any of these things. That's the rule. And a lot of people ask, wait, but what's going on in this case where it seems like you can the rule against self-incrimination in halacha doesn't apply. And if you think that Golos is an Onesh, then how could Beis Din be manish you based on your own say-so? Or maybe in certain cases based on an Eid Echad or based on Psule Eidus. It's all unclear.
So here the incrimination is almost, it's not a real incrimination, not really incriminating, so, because really what you're saying is I was Onesh. Not that I'm guilty, meaning I did the act, but there's the absence of the incriminating of the guilt for
it. So that's what I wrote on the page, more or less. I know you peeked ahead, it's fine. But that's exactly the point. Then you'll have to say the reason why self-incrimination works here, because it's not an onesh. It's something else. And the chinuch put his finger on the something else. I have an obligation to go to galus because I want to get kapara. Because I want to be rehabilitated, because I want to be able to rejoin society, and I don't have to feel like I'm carrying the burden of this accident. Huh? Well, then, if the Kohen Gadol dies, I don't know. Look, you could probably do good things in a Ir Miklat. A lot of bad people who live there, right? You could start a school there. I assume there are things you could do. But the point is, everybody goes to Miklat, yeah, right. The point is as follows. It's interesting. There are areas of halacha that, for the most part, we allow ourselves to incriminate ourselves on. Now, how could that be? It's against halacha? It doesn't work that way. When you turn a light off on Shabbos, and that's chilul Shabbos b'shogeg. This man shabbos having the shayakayim, avoiding this, obviously ignoring the fact that there was not electricity then, right? You go to the Beit HaMikdash and you tell them I did it, and you bring a carbon chatos. Right? Why do you bring a carbon chatos? Because it's not an onesh. I want kapara. Right? I want to be punished. There are times, and all of us know this, there are times in our lives where we don't want to get away with it because we feel bad. I've mentioned this before, you know, in the 1500s, when the Anusim from Spain came to Tzfat, they wanted to get makos from a bezdin, because they wanted kapara, right? Like, it's a weird thing, right? You got away with it. Nobody found you. You're great. No, they wanted kapara.
In terms of it being kapara, if you hit a line drive and hit the pitcher,
okay,
or boxers, and they happen to, it's unpublished. People know the risk.
So presumably,
does that fall into this role?
Presumably, that's owner. You have to ask the question. I don't know if assumption of risk, how that plays out in halacha. Yeah. But as a person who's played baseball, you don't assume that, you know, that you hit the pitcher on purpose.
So you don't need kapara for onus.
That's what I said at the beginning. You don't need any kapara for onus. So far we've seen, one, it's an onesh. Two, no, it's kapara. Three, flip over, number five, you see something very interesting. It's not philosophical, it's a new reading of what's the mitzvah. Says the Sifrei, pen yirdof goel hadam acharei arotzeach, which reads literally as we're afraid, or because maybe the goel hadam, the next of kin, will chase after and harm the rotzeach. Says the Sifrei, mitzvah biyad goel hadam lirdof. No, we want the goel hadam to chase this guy. And we really want that to happen. Meaning, so now we have three possible mitzvahs. Not the philosophical one. One, mitzvah on Beis Din. Two, mitzvah on the guy himself to go to Golos. Three, no, mitzvah on the next of kin to chase after this guy. Now, let's deal with an issue that's come up a little bit, and that is there a difference between time frames? Meaning, is there a difference between before he goes to court and after he goes to court? Let's assume in a regular case, it's a car accident, you run to court. You run to Golos, to the Ir Miklat. Now, there hasn't been a court case yet. Now let's say you're on your way to the Ir Miklat. Do we want the Goel Adam to kill you then? Right? Is that something? Or now you went to court, and the Bezdin says, okay, you're not an ones, you're not a mazid, you're an accidental murderer, you have to live your life in Golos. Okay? Now, you live your life in Golos for a year, and your sister is making a wedding. Okay? And for whatever reason, she doesn't want to make the wedding in Golos. Go figure. Okay? So, you'd think it'd be cheaper. But anyway, so now you say to yourself, listen, I've been in there a year. I never heard from the Goel Adam. And my sister's wedding, my sister's making a wedding. You go to the wedding. Is it still the same thing? Do we not want the Goel Adam to kill you? Does it change? Because now you're actually violating your court sentence. Right? The court said you have to live in Golos, and now you're leaving. So, interesting insight into the Rambam. People make the following diyuk. Look at source number 6. The Rambam in Hilchos, Rotzeach v'shmiras ha'nefesh, Perek ha'alach ha'tet, says as follows. Rotzeach bishkaga sheharago Goel Adam. Okay, an accidental murderer who is killed by the next of kin, so long as he's not in the Ir Miklat, so long as he's not in exile, the killer, the next of kin, is patur, is not punished. Because the pasuk says, "V'lo e mishpat mavet." There's no punishment of death for this guy because he's an accidental murderer. Now, it's awkward the way the Rambam broke up the halacha. So my guess is it's a mistake. But then you go to halacha yud, and it says, Echad ha-horeg baderech kodem shi'ikaneis le'ir miklato. This applies, again, if you killed him right after the car accident, before he even got to the Ir Miklat, o sheharago b'chazirato im ha-shnayim she'shomrim oto. Or, you killed him when he was on his way to Beis Din or on his way back from Beis Din with the two guards that Beis Din gives you. Okay, that's the situation where the Rambam says you are patur. You're patur because the pasuk says v'lo ein mishpat mavet. The person who kills the accidental murderer is not guilty of murder. Now it's another case. Nichnas le'ir miklato. This is our case. He was now sentenced to ir miklat. He has a shame, accidental murderer, roseach bishgaga. He's sent to the ir miklat. V'yatsa chutz l'tchuma bizadon. This is our case. You intentionally left the ir miklat. Yeah, your sister's making a wedding, but you intentionally left the ir miklat. You know that it's against the rules. You do it anyway. Harei zeh hitir atmo lemita. Urishut legoel hadam laharago. V'im hargo kol adam ein chayvim ala. Okay, urishut biyad goel adam laharago. Achronim say the following, and I think it's really there in the Rambam. There's a difference. The goel hadam who kills you, either on your way to Golos or on your way back from Golos to be judged by Beis Din, he's potur. But the sense you get in the Rambam is we don't want him to do it. He's potur.
He's potur. He's making the point by using potur there and ein chayavim here.
Not ein chayavim, because the ein chayavim applies to bystanders. Not to goel hadam. The Rambam says with respect to the goel hadam, hareze hitir atmo lemita urishut legoel hadam laharago. That means there's a difference, right? In the one case, we'll let you get away with it. We're not in favor of it. But if Beis Din sentences you to Golos, and you leave Golos, it sounds like in that case, we want the Goel Hadam to kill you. Because you're in violation of your punishment. Right? So it sounds like we've been talking that all the cases are the same. There could be a big difference between, you know, when it happens. And there you see it's closer to the Goel Hadam playing a real role. The Goel Hadam then becomes like the enforcement agency for Beis Din.
The guards around the Yermiklat have to look out, not in.
Correct. Now, let's look at fascinating Sefer Achim, just the philosophic part of it, and he raises an issue that hasn't been raised till now, but is significant. Yishar Sheah Mitzvah, source number 7, says the Sefer Achim. Lefi Sha'av, first thing he says as follows is this. Lefi Sha'avon Haritzicha Chamur Admeod. Obviously he says murder is the worst thing you could possibly do. Sheba hashchatal ha'olam. It's the destruction of the world. Ad shalruz shalom libracha. Shehahoreg nefesh meziv. If you're an intentional murderer, afilu asak kol hamitzvot, eino nitzal min hadin. Doesn't matter how great a talmud chacham, you won't be saved. Shenemar adam ashuk b'dam nefesh ad bor yanus v'lo yimaleg. You'll never get away with it. Now he says, end of the third line. V'lachein, therefore. Ra'uy lemi shaharag afilu shogeg. Therefore, even because murder is so terrible, even accidental murder, mikevan sheba'at takala gidola kazo al yado, you're not a murderer. This is exactly the point. But you caused the death. You have responsibility for a person's death, and the taking of a life is the single worst thing a human being can do. So says the Chinuch, it has to do with how severe the Avera is. If this thing happens, he says, what's appropriate? Sheyitzta'er aleha tsa'ar galut. You should feel great pain. You should punish yourself. The punishment of galut. Now he has an interesting idea. Sheshakul kima'at kitsa'ar mita. Which is like just a shadow of, but it's still a shadow of actual death. Why? Shenifrad ha'adam me'ohavav u'me'eretz mo'ladeso v'shochein kol yamavim zarim. Because you were sent away from home and you have to go live with strangers. It's a form of death. It's obviously not death. But here, the Chinuch is basically saying, the way I understand it is, murder is so terrible that normally in halacha, it's just an interesting thing. We don't really have attempted anything. You either did the crime or you didn't do the crime, right? Here the Chinuch says, no, there's a real in-between thing. You're not a murderer, but you're an almost, you know, you're the cause of somebody's death, and causing somebody's death is such a terrible thing that even though you didn't do it on purpose, right, you need to get kapara, you need to go to Golos. Now the Chinuch has a really incredible psychological insight. It says, Va'od yesh tikun ha'olam b'mitzvah. Third line from the bottom. Kimo shebi'er ha'katuv she'inatel im zem miyad goel hadam Leval yahargenu alo chamas bekapav sharei shogeg haya. Okay, first of all, he says, obviously this will save you from the Goel Adam, because you were accidental. You didn't do it on purpose. And now here's the point I want to make. Last full line. Va'od toelet bidavar. There's another great benefit in this. Livli yiru krovei hamuka, so that the family of the victim won't have to see harosech la'inehem tamid b'makom shenat tahara'a. V'chol darkei Torah noam. Meaning, okay, God forbid, you backed out of your driveway and you killed your neighbor's daughter. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. And it's not your fault. Or, like, you know, whatever. Clearly you didn't intend it. So, says the Chinuch, it's painful for them to see you every day. It's true you're not a murderer. But, huh? Well, so I have a better case. I'm not saying God forbid better. This is really true. John Gotti, the big tzaddik, okay, had a son who was killed in a car accident by his neighbor. Okay? In an incredible coincidence, the neighbor was found, committed suicide after having tied his hands behind his back, locked himself in the trunk of a car, gagged himself, whatever. It's like unbelievable how it happened. That's not so. Meaning, that's not, first of all, that's not really what happened. It was worse. They actually, like, dipped him in acid so his body was never found. Somebody could admit it to. Meaning, you know, he's not a good example, but it's hard to see the guy who killed your child, you know, every day. Now, obviously, John Gotti's a mushkas. But the point is that the chinuch, there's a huge societal benefit to Golos.
I thought he was wearing third base.
No, that's Frank Hoffa. Now, come on. You got to get your mobsters. Vito Corleone comes from Long Beach when the Russo from. But he's fictional. Okay, the other guys are real. Now, back to this. It's a fascinating thing. It's very hard on the family to see you every day. It's true. They know that you didn't do it on purpose. But they also know that you probably could have been more careful. And they know that you're responsible for the death of their daughter. You're not a murderer. Says the chinuch, the way to make society work is to send you away, because otherwise it's too painful for them. Okay? That, I think, is a brilliant psychological insight. Now, let's just knock off two really interesting halachic things. Source number 8. The Rambam says, Rechot Roteach, Perek Zayin Halachachet. It's an unbelievable halacha. Hagoleh eino yotse me'ir miklato le'olam. Okay, fine. If you send it there, Allah means now. Va'afilu lidvar mitzvah. Okay, fine. Can't get a lulav in your mitzvah. So what? Your law. Ola edut. You can't testify. Bein edut mamon. Bein edut nefashot. Now you could, you could get somebody off for the murder that they didn't commit. You can't do that.
You do mitzvah. You
could, of course. Va'afilu lehatzil nefesh be'edutel. You could save a life. O lahatzil miyad agayas, o miyad hanahar, o miyad hadleka. Okay? You're watching, you know, the little girl be swept away in the river, let's say. Right? Or the fire. Sidram, you can't leave the Irmiklat. Umin hamapolet, you know, a building fell, you could run in to save them. Va'afilu, now this is like when the Rambam is exaggerating all the submission. Va'afilu kol Yisrael tzrichim l'tshuvato, the whole nation needs you. Ki Yoav ben Tzruya, the chief of staff of David HaMelech. They're going to war, they need you. You're the most important general ever. Eino yotzei misham le'olam ad mot ha-kohen ha-gadol. I guess they could kill the Kohen Gadol, but okay. Why? Because it's there. Ve'im yatzah hitir atzmo le'mita kimoshe be'arnes. And if you leave, you've been maskier your life, meaning the Goel Adam could kill you. Okay? This generates like an amazing machloga. Like, could it possibly be? Here's the real question. Going to Golos is a mitzvah saseh. Okay? But pikuach nefesh, isn't kol haTorah nidches mishum pikuach nefesh? You're telling me that the mitzvah, there's no mitzvah saseh that's not, that you can't violate for pikuach nefesh. There's nothing like that, right? Shabbat, everything can be violated for pikuach nefesh. Except for Golos? It's the subject of a huge, huge debate. I think that the answer that makes the most sense is that there'd be too many exceptions to the rule. Yeah, this is a unique mitzvah. The rule of Golos has no exceptions. Because if it had exceptions, the rule would be lost. Everybody could justify leaving for different reasons.
You killed the Kohen Gadol b'shogeg.
So everybody could be justified for leaving for different reasons. So the way I read it is, he tiras mola mitzah, meaning you want to be a tzaddik, okay, you risk your life to be a tzaddik. Meaning, you want to go save a girl who's drowning, go save the girl who's drowning, knowing that, you know, that's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is not docha the mitzvah because you could do it anyway. But if you do it, you're putting your life at risk. But maybe that's what the Torah wants. What I can tell you is, we can talk about this forever, what I can tell you is, this halacha is subject to huge discussions, and it's a fascinating one, because I don't know that you can find any other mitzvah in the Torah where you have this kind of, you know, litany of, you can't leave for any of the following really important reasons, including saving all of Klal Yisrael. You can't talk now, we're going to run out of time. Okay? Let's do one more. One more. Strange halacha in the Rambam. Number 9, Perek Zayin halacha vav, Hilchos Rotzeach. Ir miklat sheruba ratzchanim eina kolatet. If the population of the Ir Miklat becomes mostly killers, it doesn't work. It stops being an Ir Miklat. Now, I'll just give you a technicality. There aren't six Ir Miklat. There's 6 plus 48.
42.
Thank you.
42? Yeah, 42 plus 6 is 48.
Okay. Meaning, all of the Ir Leviim act as Ir Miklat, but there are 6 official ones. But here, without getting into all the details, you come back to the Kohen Gadol idea. Why is it that if an Ir Miklat, certainly the 42 cities, become mostly killers, it stops being an Ir Miklat?
It loses its rehabilitation.
Because it's supposed to be rehabilitative. Because you're supposed to go someplace. You're not going just to any town. You're going to an Ir Leviim. Right? You're going to Kolel. You're going to the place where people are exceptionally religious and exceptionally, you know, devoted to God.
That's the 42, but it's the 6.
Right, so the 6 have a different rule. Leave that out for now. But you're going to a place, the whole point is that you're supposed to become a better person. And maybe that ties into the Kohen Gadol thing. I mean, the Kohen Gadol is the president of, he's not just in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. In a properly run world, the Beim, when they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, you know what they're doing?
Teaching.
They're teaching. So, the Kohen Gadol is also the Sar HaChinuch. And maybe the idea is, yeah, so he, therefore, in a society, see, we really think of these things as being out of our control and accidents. But in a really moral society, you can limit accidental deaths because people will drive more carefully, because they'll be frumer in the proper way. You know, construction sites will be safer because people won't just be in it for the money. They'll care, you know, if you build a society based on real values, you can really limit the number of accidental deaths. And that answers the question we mentioned at the beginning. Everybody asks, how could it be that there are 3 Ir Miklat in Israel proper and 3 Ir Miklat in Eber HaYarden when 9.5 Shvatim live on one side and 2.5 Shvatim live on the other side? How could it be? So the answer that Rashi quotes from the Gemara is Lefi Dinafishi Rotzim Bigilad. There are a lot of murderers there. And you read the answer, you go, okay, fine. Sad, but it makes sense. But then you go, wait. But murderers don't need really go to an Ir Miklat. Murderers get the death penalty. So the answer is not murderers like that way. It means when you're not moral, when you're not, these things happen all the time. Not because I don't know if the guy shot him intentionally or not. Because people aren't careful when they're in their interactions, and people aren't careful with how they build their homes, they're not careful with construction sites, and they're not careful with how they drive, and they're careful how they care for their animals. They're just not careful. And the Kohen Gadol's job is to build a society, a values-based society, in which people are careful, and in which these things don't happen. So there'll always be things we can't stamp out, but those things will always be, you know, shogeg karav la'onis, right? It's really, really out of your control, you know, and you can get, Bezin can get off with it. And then again, the point that was made earlier, yes, I think the Rotzeh, the Goel Hadam has to accept the fact that this is God's decision. The Goel Hadam has to say, Bezin said, it's not his fault. And you have to say, okay, you know, I'll accept that ruling. maybe that's not an easy thing to do, but in a world of values, in a world that the Kohen Gadol builds, where you really see things the way you're supposed to see them, not from a selfish perspective, you accept that Gzar Din, and the Goel Adam lives in peace with the accidental murderer. Shkaf.
The
What was the purpose of the guys that keep the company?
No, that's the
But
the Goel Adam.
But the Goel Adam is the right and the mitzvah.
No. The Goel Adam is the right. The mitzvah probably only applies once he's back safely in Yom Kippur, if he leaves for his sister's wedding.
Although he can't protect himself. If he's a big tough guy, then the Goel Adam is taking a risk.
Like this week's parsha, right? Pinchas kills Zimri,
right,
if Zimri killed Pinchas, he'd be Potter. You're absolutely right.
If the next of kin happens to be a Cohen or Levi, you know, God forbid you back up your car and you kill the little girl, the grandfather lives in the Irma Klap. Are they going to put you in that Irma Klap?
It's not.
Okay, thank you, Ellie.